everything we've learned in the Word of God. But the more you learn, the more questions come up.
That's right.
And the more you realize, there's just a lot. I can't speak to that. I can speak to this, but I don't know what that's talking about. And then a little bit later, maybe the Lord gives some light about that thing. But looking here at this prophecy of the virgin birth of Christ, imagine you're living during this time that Isaiah has just told the king, ask a sign. And the king said, well, I wouldn't do that. And then he said, okay, well, let me give you one. And he says, there's going to be a virgin that's going to conceive. And his name is going to be Emmanuel. And God being with us there, that's the interpretation of Emmanuel. And that thing happens right there. But look at verse 15 of Isaiah 7. You're trying to figure out when this would happen if you lived then. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. That's speaking of his human development.
Yeah.
That's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Then it says in verse 16, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now that's a detail in the prophecy. And, you know, before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. That was true. That was literally true. But here's the thing. That happened well over 500 years before he was born.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Holy Spirit just puts it all out there.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know anything, you'd think it's all going to happen right then.
Yeah.
That as soon as the Christ shows up, you know, or right before he shows up, you're going to have this forsaking of the land. But that happens 500 years before he shows up. So again, you know, there's some things we know. There's other things that you've got to be careful and realize that we don't know at all. And of course, look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. That prophecy, the point being, it didn't all happen right at that moment, but literally it was fulfilled. It happened just like it said. Nobody had to change anything. Nobody had to add to it or take away from it. It happened just like the Lord said it would happen. He did. He did. Before he ever showed up, the land was forsaken of both the kings. You had Assyria coming there on Israel. You had Babylon coming there on Judah. That happened over 500 years before he showed up. But it did happen before.
That's right.
Before his earthly development. Actually, before his very birth. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that New Testament statement about Christ's coming, an event, is both God sending his Son and the fact that he is made of a woman. Christ is made of a woman. His humanity was of a woman who is traced back to David the king and Abraham the father of faith, as Joseph, who was the husband of Mary there, was told. And going back to this subject of the narrowing prophecy of Christ's descent and his human lineage, look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and this is where it begins. This is where it begins. If you were going to show somebody, let me show you how the Bible's written. And this is where you would say, you know, it's going to introduce Christ. And you go over there to Genesis chapter 3. And there's a narrowing prophecy that pinpoints Christ at his first coming. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, right at the start there, no sooner had man fallen into sin, there's a solution.
Yes.
And the Lord says, here's the solution. It's the seed of the woman. And he talks about her seed against Satan's seed. And we understand in prophecy, there is one called the son of perdition. All right? And he is the man of sin. We commonly refer to him as the Antichrist. But this is the first reference to Christ's birth. This is where he is called her seed. It's dealing with him coming made of a woman, as we just read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And that's originally spoken in the Garden of Eden. And it's the Lord talking to the serpent.
Yeah.
It's a prophecy given to the serpent, who is the devil, according to Revelation chapter 20. That old serpent is the devil, the dragon. And that's important, because in a lot of the ancient religions of antiquity, they call it, you read Hyslop's Bab to Babylon, you're going to see that in Phoenician worship and Baal worship and Egyptian worship, you're going to have, even before Christ is born, pictures in those ancient religions of a son of a deity showing up. And when you guys go to school and college, they're going to try to put that out there to them. And they're going to say Christianity is just another version of what was already in Egypt, and what was already in Babylon, and what was already there in Phoenician ancient worship there. They're going to try to say that. And the fact is, Satan certainly did counterfeit a lot of what he knew. And the prophecy was given to Satan. And he began to twist that thing and pervert that thing. And so you've got a lot of counterfeits of it out there in that context. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And right off the start there, half of the race is ruled out. Man's not going to have anything to do with Jesus showing up, the Christ. It's going to be the seed of the woman. Right, but here's the overspreading of the earth after the flood, Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And you've got the European descent of Japheth, the African descent of Ham, and the Asian descent of Shem. And Shem is a particular interest there because of the prophecy that's found of Christ. Genesis chapter 9, verse 26. Genesis 9, 26. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." All right, that's Genesis 9:26. So this is the second leg of the prophecy. I guess you could say her seed is going to be the Lord God of Shem. That's the next stop. Now, he keeps narrowing this thing down. Again, half the race is out. It's not going to come from men. And then two-thirds of the rest of the race is out right off the bat. It's not coming from Japheth. It's not coming from Ham. He's not of Europe, and he's not of Africa. He's of Shem. And the Lord God is the seed of the woman. And again, some natural man would say, well, that's impossible. But it's not with God. He can show up in that line, and the next stop, and we can pick several verses, you can take your choice, but the next stop of the prophecy is with Abraham. And God communes to Abraham and calls him out of that idolatrous background and says, I'm going to send you to a land. And that's part of the covenant that's made with him. But this is an older man that is married to an older woman, and they have no children, and they can't have children. And they take off, and of course there's a promise there about the seed. And you read about all that, and just the natural man reading about what they go through, it would be hard to figure out what is the significance, what does this mean to me? But you realize that there was a compromise made with Abimelech. There was a compromise made with Hagar. There was always a threat made towards that part of the covenant which pertained to Abraham's seed, because Satan was trying to thwart that promise. And he was working against that, and the attack on Abraham's faith and the attack on Sarah's faith had to deal with that seed. That seed that God said well, look at Genesis 21 and look at verse 12. This is in light of Ishmael, which was a product of compromise. He was a son of the flesh. Naturally born, nothing special about his birth at all. Just like every other man is born. Genesis 21:12. And God said unto Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So the thing goes from, you know, the seed of the woman, and then Shem. And then from Shem, you got Abraham. And then with Abraham, you've got Isaac, not Ishmael. And it continues to narrow down. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, look at verse 13. Genesis 28:13. The Abrahamic covenant goes from Isaac, and from Isaac it goes over Esau and to Jacob. Genesis 28:13. "Behold, the Lord stood above it and said," this is him above that ladder, "and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereof thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, we know God eventually changes the name of Jacob to Israel. And from Israel comes the 12 tribes, and the thing moves. Even there, he starts to narrow it down from them. In Numbers, you can write this down, Numbers 24:17. The prophecy says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, the promised seed is going to bruise Satan. That's the promised seed. And in Numbers 24:17, as you've got the seed of the woman, and the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Isaac, and now the seed of Jacob, and this star coming out of the house of Jacob, he's got a scepter. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bring judgment in reference to bruising the head of Satan. Now look at Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Of that scepter, Genesis 49, verse 10. Of that scepter, Genesis 49, verse 10, the Bible says, the scepter, this is Jacob prophesying, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. We looked at that verse before when we were studying rightly dividing the word, and saw how that cross-references Isaiah 63, which is speaking of the second coming of Christ. That's what that is. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. All right, so that's the Lord narrowing this thing down. And then write this verse down. Isaiah 11, verse 1, and Isaiah 11, verse 10. Isaiah 11, 1, and 10 speaks of the family of the house of Jesse. And then, of course, we know Jesse's sons, of all them, the Holy Spirit specifies David. And you can write this down. Just write down all of 2 Samuel 7. Because that's the Davidic covenant there. There's some historical reference to Solomon, but you can see there a great reference prophetically is speaking of Christ. So here's what we just looked at. Look at Micah chapter 5. And while you're turning there, listen to this. Having narrowed down the sex he would come from, seed of the woman, the race, the culture, the nation, the tribe, the Bible identifies the family. And then from that family specifies David. And you come to Micah chapter 5, and here it says, verse 2, he rules out all the other towns he could show up in. Micah 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. There's that scepter that comes from Judah. Out of thee, Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. See, there's the Lord God of Shem. There in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem means the house of bread. So it just by its very prophecy, Christ is the bread of life.
Amen.
And that prophecy made over 400 years before he's born in the town called the City of David. And that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. So here it is. The sex he would come from, the seed of the woman. The race, being Shem. He's from the Asian people. The people or culture, speaking of Abraham and Isaac. Then the nationality, you've got Jacob or Israel. And then ruling out all the other tribes of Israel, you've got Judah specified, and then from Judah, all the families of Judah, he specifies the family of Jesse, and then of all Jesse's sons, he identifies David, which is 1,000 years before Christ, and then tells you the city he's going to be born in, which is Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And to narrow it down even further, Daniel chapter 9, you don't have to turn there because it's time to quit, but Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and verse 26 is a place where we can mathematically go and point out the determined time on Israel, and the 70th week is how we refer to the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, which pertains to the, there's 490 years God says determined upon Israel, the people, and upon the holy city Jerusalem. And he's winding that thing down. And what Christ does, as I was preaching about there the other day, he buys us time, because the world is down to its last 7 years when Christ shows up. Unto Messiah the Prince, that's Daniel chapter 9, 483 years from the prophecy. And it's down to its last week, actually, its last week of years. 7 years is left, that's it, when Christ shows up. And he gets cut off, it says, but not for himself. Mm-hmm. And when he does that, it's such an act of grace that settles the demands of justice that this other period interrupted that whole thing called grace, mm-hmm. the church age. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We're in the day of salvation. Yeah. It's lasted 2,000 years. And when the church is gone, you're back on that last week. And to view all that, to understand all that, just imagine now, there is no church. Just imagine there's no church. And you have, there's no law given until Exodus 20. And then the law is given. And once the law is given, Christ shows up. He's under the law. Mm-hmm. Made of a woman, made under the law. And he begins to preach the kingdom. That's his message. Yeah. And he teaches his disciples to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. That's the message. And there's the signs, and it deals with Israel, and it deals with Jerusalem, it deals with the land of Judea. And he even tells them, don't go to the Gentiles. That's the thing, because it's going to start there and then it's going to spread. But that's where it starts. And so he's trained them towards that end, and it gets right down to the end. And the Holy Spirit says the end of the world. Yeah. And that's where he's at. And he goes to the cross, and he dies for us, and then just he's risen, and he trains those men again, 40 days pertaining to the kingdom of God. And things begin to gradually change in the book of Acts to where you understand the church. But if you wanted to understand this, once the church is gone, you're back where he was with the message of the kingdom being preached again. Amen. So that's what we mean when we say this age right now is parenthetical. It's like a bubble. Mm-hmm. The church age is like a bubble that was birthed from the sacrifice of Christ made on the cross that men gradually learned about in the book of Acts. Especially once the revelation was given to the Apostle Paul. And he's able to go through there and tell them what happened. But once we're gone, the thing goes back to the message Christ was preaching with his disciples, the kingdom, because the church is gone. Amen. My point being, I'm sorry, Daniel 9, 25 and 26 is the time he would come. And that thing can be narrowed down. 483 years from the prophecy being made, it shows you again where he was coming from. With the sex he would come from, the race he would come from, the people or culture he would come from, the nation he would come from, the tribe of that nation, the family of that tribe, the line of that family being David, and then the city he would be born in. And Daniel chapter 9, 25 and 26 says this, oh yeah, this is when he's coming. And that thing's just like that right there. That's the way that Bible's written. It all funnels down in a spotlight and lands right on the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Everything's about him. All right, so we'll stop right there. Should have a few minutes ago, but we'll stop right there. And let's have a little prayer again. Father, thank you, Lord.